Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
Welcome back for the fifth and final installment of this extraordinarily timely and important conversation with one of the pioneers and real leaders in the whole area of national security, but most especially with respect to the necessity of protecting our country against ballistic missile threats, which now emanate not just, unfortunately, from the Soviet Union's successor, Russia, or for that matter, even communist China, but from others like North Korea, like Iran, and perhaps still others in the wings. Hank Cooper is our guest. He's been extremely generous with his time, and the corporate memory that he brings to this is unsurpassed. And Hank, I did just want to talk a little bit about what we need to be doing today, because we mentioned earlier that General John Hyten, who is today the four-star Air Force general commanding our Strategic Forces Command, or Strategic Command, has told just this week, on the eve of this anniversary, as it happens, the United States Senate Armed Services Committee, my old shop, that we have, quote, no defense, unquote, against the sorts of threats that are now emerging from at least the Russians and Chinese, these hypersonic and maneuvering systems that you mentioned. How could that be, given the incredible amounts of money that we have spent over the years, albeit some of it hamstrung by the ABM treaty? But what could we be doing that we're not now that might make a difference, even with existing systems that we have deployed?
Well, let me just say in introducing this, that because of the treaty and its focus on only ground-based systems initially, everything else was ground ruled out. And the treaty, by design, forced us into a corner which we've invested in the most expensive, least effective defenses around. And that's where we finally are. And frankly, some of the military late to the scene are beginning to understand that we can't keep up with adversaries who want to pursue technologies to defeat the sensors and systems that we have today. And the important thing to remember about space is what I emphasized a moment ago. It allows you to do boost phase intercept from anywhere. Before you get to that, there are other ways to shoot missiles down in their boost phase as well, including the hypersonic threat, in my view. We're not there yet. There's work to be done, certainly. But I brought this up in the Heritage meeting yesterday. Somebody asked, what can we do quickly? And that's really important. It's going to take a while to build the space systems we need, a few years, but still a while. So what can you do quickly? And I said, if our troops are prepared to go into harm's way, we can do it today. You can use AMRAAM, which is an air-to-air missile that some of our fighter aircraft carry, and you fly. You have to go into harm's way, and you have to be escorted. You can't. I'm thinking now about North Korea in particular, because you only have a limited amount of time to shoot something down while it's going up, and it'll be expensive. But you can do that. And soon as you can, if we're smart, you get into the business of deploying these kinds of interceptors on unpiloted air vehicles, or now they call them remotely piloted vehicles, because somebody sitting out in Nevada can actually control, the UAV that's flying over somewhere else. So in any case, that technology is around and can be exploited and developed to be exploited today. You could deploy the AMRAAM almost immediately, but there's development on the other. And you've got to deal with the issue of maneuverability. And that's an issue, as you and I know, we've been wrestling to get people to address properly for many years. And I don't know what they're doing inside the system, but if they're not addressing that problem, somebody's butt ought to be kicked pretty hard.
Well, specifically, just let me mention, Hank, that the thing that may be a game changer in this regard is if we can use what's known as a predictive algorithm that can enable even perhaps the rather relatively rudimentary systems we have deployed, whether at sea or most especially on the ground, to maneuver to be where those maneuvering systems are going to be. It's kind of the Wayne Gretzky approach of going to where the puck is going to be, not where it is. And I'm very keen on this, and I know we've been working together to try to make sure that this is something that hopefully a John Bolton coming in will take a fresh look at, as well as the Pentagon's ballistic missile defense review. They have one predictive algorithm we know of that has been tested and seems very promising, known as the hypersonic intercept technology, and I'm very keen to see that validated if we can, and then, you know, thereby give us some options, as well as build into the system the space-based capabilities that you're so clear are needed. Speaking of which, Hank, I did want to just mention before we finish, what are the other folks doing in this regard? We've talked at some length about the strategic offensive capabilities. Are you seeing signs that the Russians and Chinese are pursuing strategic defenses as well? And to what extent might that bear on the effectiveness of our deterrent?
I have not engaged people behind all the green doors on this issue, so I am not knowledgeable of precisely where we are. You know, I mentioned earlier that we basically killed the Brilliant Pebbles idea. That technology was transferred by way of a company in Great Britain, Surrey, who invented small satellites early on to the Chinese now 15 years ago. And while we were precluded from doing anything on it by our own stupidity, in my judgment, and now we see evidences of the Chinese deploying lots of little satellites. They certainly understand how to work the computers and so on. They have our technologies there. So I can just see from what's going on from obvious out in the world and the reports that everybody can read on the web now of these small satellites. And DARPA has got a major program in this area that you can read about as well. So the technology is there, and there is no ownership on that technology. It depends on the smarts. We've educated the Chinese scientists. They come to here, and they used to want to stay here. Now they want to go back to China, I am told, because China gives them more opportunity than they can get in the United States.
And part of this is in part the utilization of those skills, some of which we've honed in our graduate programs and technology labs and the like, to build the threat against us. So this is very important. Hank, we are just about out of time. I did want to just close by both thanking you for the extraordinary contribution you've made over all these years to such missile defenses as we do have, and the leadership that you've been providing throughout to try to make it be all that it can be, as they say. I think there's just no getting around it. What President Reagan envisioned in his day, 35 years ago, most especially today, was a world in which we actually could protect ourselves against these sorts of threats. And I think he'd be chagrined to see that we haven't got more to show for it all. And I wanted to close by noting, you talked about our friend Danny Graham and the work that he did trying to assess whether the American people wanted missile defenses or not at a key moment. We've done a lot of work in that space over the years as well at the Center for Security Policy. And what I kept discovering was the American people thought we had a missile defense, and they were rather pissed off, actually, when they discovered that we didn't at the time, or certainly don't have as much as we need. So for all these reasons, your continuing service now with High Frontier and in so many public outlets is so vitally needed and so deeply appreciated, as is your time with us this hour. Hank Cooper, God bless you, my friend. Keep up the great work and come back to us again, if you would, very soon. I hope the rest of you will come back to us on Monday. Same time, same station. Until then, this is Frank Gaffney. Thanks for listening.
From the nation's capital, you've been listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.